Shalom, nosei ha'shiur shelanu.
The topic of our lesson today is work within reason and above reason. We will be reading selected excerpts from the sources. You can ask questions on Kab.TV. Selected questions will be asked during the lesson. This topic is a very important topic. I would say it's the foundation for our entire spiritual work. We will have to study it over some time to develop it truly throughout our entire development, both within reason and also above reason, as it sounds, above reason, that you need to have the reason and then also to be above it. And these are two opposite, contradictory points that support each other, that are combined, and at the same time they're separate, and all the time they hold each other. You cannot build spirituality without corporeality, and the other way around. Of course, corporeality stems from spirituality, however, we're not quite aware of it. We don't see the roots. And also spirituality, we don't know about it until we discover that, yes, it is indeed built out of corporeality. Above reason, you can rise only from within reason. And how do you do that? That is the question. We need to, first of all, study, to read. We are already at the opening. And those who will hear, will hear. Well, let's start. Excerpt number 2 from Rabash, article 10. What does it mean that the letter is diagonal in the work? It is written, and behold, the letter was set on the earth with its top reaching the heaven. That is, the letter by which we climb up to the king's palace has two ends. One, a letter was set on the earth. This is the left line called earth. One should see that he is placed in worldliness, immersed in self-love, as in the left pushes away. Then there is room to pray from the bottom of the heart, for then one looks within one's reason, as to how he cannot do anything for the sake of the Creator. And only the Creator can deliver him from the governance of the evil in him. It is said about that, were it not for the help of the Creator, he would not be able to overcome it. Two, it is written, its top reaching to heaven. The other end of the letter is in heaven, as though he has complete wholeness, because he is content with his lot in the little bit of contact that he has with the work of the Creator. He feels that he is happy with this, since it is a great privilege to be rewarded with serving the King and speaking with him, even one moment a day. This is enough for him to be in high spirits, and he thanks the Creator for this and praises him.
Now the question is, are we in these two poles, these two ends, or in the middle, or in some combination between them? Is it by our choice or effort, or we're thrown to one end and then to the other? Sometimes we have some spirit, some importance of spirituality, according to which we can decide and make a choice and relate to life that way, and to into the study and to everything we have. And other times we are immersed in our will to receive in our corporeal life, and we can't see or appreciate anything above that. So what do we do? And so, When we look at what the wisdom of Kabbalah says, even though we are in these two states, we need to control them, meaning I can be in a very great descent, and with it, I also have to organize support for myself internally and externally, so that this descent will not overpower me, meaning that I will also be influenced by somewhat of an ascent. And here's the question. If I do not properly descend to the bottom that I'm supposed to in order to rise afterwards, and on the contrary, when I'm ascending, I must not lose contact with the concrete reality. And so, I have to also keep my feet on the ground. So this is the question. So we have to first learn how we control these two ends and be both in one and the other. And be in a state where we don't lose the wheels or the reins. We're both above and below and in between, and we are aware and in control, and as a result also in agreement with what's happening to us. So, although we have the force of bestowal here, the force of faith that we acquire during the ascent, we also need to check how that force resides above the force of reason. And these two ends, even though they seem to cancel out each other, we have to bring them together into a concept called faith above reason. This is something we have to feel. It's not simple. Until it sits, settles in the heart, you can't know what it's about. Let's read again.
Again, excerpt number 2. It is written, and behold, a ladder was set on the earth, and its top reaching to heaven. That is, the ladder by which we climb up to the king's palace has two ends. One, a ladder was set on the earth. This is the left line, called earth. One should see that he is placed in worthiness, immersed in self-love. As in, the left pushes away. Then there is room to pray from the bottom of the heart, for then one looks within one's reason at how he cannot do anything for the sake of the Creator. And only the Creator can deliver him from the governance of the evil in him. It is said about this, were it not for the help of the Creator, he would not be able to overcome it. Two, it is written, its top reaching to heaven. The other end of the ladder is in heaven, as though he has complete wholeness, because he is content with his lot in the little bit of contact that he has with the work of the Creator. He feels that he is happy with this, since it is a great privilege to be rewarded with serving the king and speaking with him even one moment a day. This is enough for him to be in high spirits. And he thanks the king for this and praises him.
Still, let's talk about it. How can we bring together these two ends that where we don't disconnect from one or the other? Please, give advice to each other.
If we see the Creator as the one who is responsible for all the states that come, the good ones and the bad ones, even responsible for my thoughts and the kind of attitude that I build towards these states that come. One time I feel the connection, some other time I lose the connection with the Creator. I can see all of the action that the Creator is performing towards me, towards the soul, towards the whole world, and be in joy about that.
It's tough to hold these two ends. I don't know how.
Specifically because it is tough, we have help to look at what we think. What do I gain if I think about myself, or if I think about the friends, the group, the world, Kli? What am I thinking about right now? Where do I want the reward to be? That is a good beginning to start checking the attitude of the relation between these two ends.
Yeah. The sense of myself is given to us. That's in our nature, more or less, but where do we really appreciate the group, the friends? That's the small foothold we were given, and we need to be thankful for it, because that's really our life buoy. So let's, all our work is to appreciate what we have here between us.
It seems that we look at the same state. One time our attitude is this way, another time our attitude is that way, and I guess we have special work in each one of these two attitudes. If right now I'm in a state of disconnection, of weakness, as he says, they're resting on the earth, then it's clear what we need to do. We need to pray. We need to pray and to connect. Then comes a state where I can see my state, how happy I am that I even have some contact with him. Somehow it seems that the state itself doesn't change. What changes is the way I relate to it. And my attitude will change only depending on how much I immerse myself in the ten, in the group.
When a person is disconnected, that's exactly the challenge. He can't pray. That's why it's so hard to grab hold of it, because he's disconnected. He doesn't see it. But if he does have a desire to pray through the group from inside, then he's no longer detached. This is a question.
Yeah, the more we work in the group, what develops in us is sensitivity. If a person really works in the 10, his sensitivity increases. We have to pay attention that this is the kind of things that we really need to pay attention to, that sensitivity. So that on the one hand, you're immersed in self-love, dependent only on the way you feel, what do you get? On the other hand, there is everything that we learn about. How do I come out of it? How do I invest in everything that is outside of me?
I think in item 11 in the introduction, it says that in order to save the created beings, they were given the concealment. So even though the quality of bestowal sits in front of our faces, we feel some sort of an upliftment when we think we're doing some action or that we act. And there is some sort of a system behind these states that is supposed to advance us and develop us. So sometimes we have unpleasant states that we can be sorry about, but other times we hold that feeling that we evolve and grow towards the right direction. And there are also states when you're inspired and elevated, but then you see that you actually have nothing. You think that you're successful and you're doing things and so on. So,
moving on to excerpt number 3 from the writings of Rabash, what is, for I have hardened his heart in the work. A person should depict to himself, even when he is in utter lowliness, when he thinks that if the Creator had illuminated for him great awakening, as he once felt during the ascent, he would certainly be willing to do the holy work. But now that he does not feel anything, how can he deceive himself that he has wholeness? At that time, he must believe in the sages, who said to us that one must depict to himself as though he has already been rewarded with feeling the existence of the Creator in all his organs, and how he would thank and praise the Creator then. Likewise, now he should thank and praise the Creator as though he has already been rewarded with the real wholeness.
It's like that in all our different times. We have to hold ourselves, well, this is still not called above reason, but still, we have to maintain ourselves in the right form. What is happening right now? What is speaking within us? Is it something we can call the good inclination or the evil inclination? What's in control? What for? How should we respond? How should we see ourselves from the side? Never be with our feeling, but always monitor it with above reason. And if we monitor the feeling, then it's not faith above reason, it's psychology, but still, this approach is needed first in order to achieve above reason. So, in order to not be immersed in the current mind and heart, but see the situation from a different point of view, then I have the reason of the sages, the reason of the group, what Baal Salam and Rabash write to me, what we learn from the group, that I have to always be in adhesion with what they write, and from that point of view monitor and inspect the states I'm going through, and only then feel how much I am in my will to receive, and I'm being drowned into it more and more each time to the point that I'm not aware of it. So only when I have 2 points, from these 2 points, when I'm in both, I can decide where I am, what I'm going with, what's my choice. And then it'll be at least a correct decision. Correct in terms of a decision, but not in terms of the truth, but still, that's what we need to do. So, when we are in a single state, and it's usually the state of I've burdened his heart. With it, we need to also know what's the opposite state. And only then allow ourselves to think, to continue thinking forward as a result of this state, what we're doing, what do we think, how do we relate to life. That's necessary, and it's still not so much there. So the question for the workshop: how do we position ourselves so as to somehow see the truth? Go ahead.
How do we position ourselves to somehow see the truth? To us that our eyes will open up and see the truth. And it's clear that in every state beforehand we are bribed.
Yeah, this request needs to come from inclusion in the group and involvement in the group.
I don't know what the truth is. Everything depends on how I relate to the situation. There is a certain situation and there's a way that I relate to it. I can look at the situation and say, what a wonderful thing is happening right now. I can look at the same situation and say, what a terrible thing is happening right now. The truth in the end is as close as possible to the Creator, as close as possible to the Ten, as much as possible involved with you, attached to you. This is what it's about. Maybe that's what we have to engage in. To engage in connecting to you and not to really check so much, do I feel this way or that way, because my sensation is always lying to me.
So it turns out that our whole path is basically not to agree with the state that we're going through, but also to ask, if I don't feel good, then why don't I feel good? If I feel bad, then why do I feel bad? Why does it happen to me? Where do I feel bad? Who actually feels bad? To always ask these things, not to agree with anything that comes to me, to always be in that question.
Yes, this coping that of a person as an individual opposite the Creator has a lot of potential in it to get confused. Just being in an environment where a person identifies with his connection with the environment, he starts perceiving reality through his connection with the environment. He sees himself as a part of this environment and he checks what is happening with his connections inside of the environment. There already he can somehow feel something outside of his own little I self. So that
is helpless, this little self. I think eventually it's to tie yourself to as an ox to the burden and a donkey to the load, and through mutual aid we always have to pay attention to each other. I don't see how a person can position himself to see the truth. I don't think that's possible.
It's true, but when we look at the friends, how come they're investing so much? How come they're getting up in the morning? How come they devote their whole life to this path? Because they want to see the truth. Now, what is more important, for me to see the truth or for them to see the truth, or that together we will see the truth between us? Here you can start asking questions. But you have to appreciate and truly admire the greatness of the friends who are making these great efforts to see the truth.
Yeah, you can't see the truth alone and at home. If you truly seek the truth, then you find the group.
Yes, because maybe the truth is whether I'm connected, and a lie is that I'm disconnected, and that's what it's about, not whether it's sweet or bitter in my will to receive, but rather, am I connected or disconnected? That should be the definition of truth versus lie. Then I can check each and every moment. I might be at home, but maybe I am connected to you, at least I know that I'm not connected with you, and then there can be a prayer. So there are all kinds of such states that you can go along with. The question is only, what is my inclination? Is my inclination towards connection or towards pleasures in my belly?
It's pretty clear that you can't see the truth from yourself. You have to keep the what's necessary to keep, maintain what you need to do in life as necessities and all the rest. Give to the friends and help flow with them, help them flow with you. Just do what they do. Do what they do.
Moving on to excerpt number 4 from the writings of Rabash, what is to warn the great about the small in the work? When a person engages in faith in the Creator, he should dedicate some time to depicting how he would feel if he were rewarded with being near the Creator. And he would see with his own eyes the delight and pleasure extending to him and to all the created beings. How high-spirited and elated he would be. This depiction requires continuation, that his faith will be as knowing and seeing, meaning that the measure of the faith should be like seeing and knowing. This is a lot of work, because this is a path of truth. And it is, as it is written, truth and faith, meaning that for his faith to be true, it is specifically like this depiction, that he must believe in the measure of the greatness of the faith as though he saw it, that he was believing with his eyes. In other words, to the same extent that he was inspired when he saw, so should be his excitement when he does not see, but only believes that this is so. This is why it is called faith in the path of truth. That is, his faith is true as though he knew it. This is called true faith, or as it is written, truth and faith.
Surely it doesn't come from man's own efforts, but rather as a result of his efforts. It then comes from above as a force. We call it the force of the light. And then one is capable of being above what he first thought and felt in his vessels of reception. Now he decides according to his vessel of bestowal. It's a decision from the other side. What is that? A different kind of importance. How much he is given the powers of faith, that's where he is, meaning just like he was before in a force of reception, and now he's in a force of bestowal. Certainly, there is no way to rise by himself to the force of bestowal or to go to the force of reception. The question then is this for the workshop. How can we assist ourselves to be in the force of bestowal, to have it rule over us? By what do we determine that the force of bestowal will govern us? How do we raise the Creator to become our King? Go ahead.
Shalagi Chadam.
You might say that a person should build for himself an environment that will influence him with the thoughts and views that he wants. It works this way anyway. The environment is shaping us from zero. And when a person has a point in the heart and he understands that there is a force that is ruling all of reality, he has to build an environment that will make his discernments with respect to the force of his soul more precise, more intense. How exactly does it work and operate the whole of reality? Yeah, it turns out that to assist ourselves means to try to assist the friends as much as possible. To find any opportunity to need the force of bestowal so that it will rule us. Because if we don't search for such opportunities between us, it's very clear what force will be in control. So a person must always rub. This force of bestowal exists inside of the group. It's hidden there. We don't discover it. We cannot discover it. That does not matter, but it is in the group. There is none else besides him. We are connected with him, even though we don't discover him. This connection is hidden from us. Inside of this connection, the Creator is filling it up, holding this connection, filling up this connection. How do we attain this force? Go ahead. With all of our efforts to connect, we attain him. He's there anyway, he's working anyway, in the group, outside of it, everywhere. The question is, do we discern it? Do we try to open up our eyes and be with him? Feel that we're with him, to agree with him or not to agree with him? These are things that only happen in the group. Only when we make efforts, with any action that we make, study, dissemination, whatever we do together, but we aim for that. We try to find that in the connection between us. Yeah, and we find that through the greatness of the Creator, when we that we constantly raise between us, all the time. If we will have a tremendous greatness of the Creator in the group, I will always be in the force of bestowal. I will always be drawn there. I will always feel uncomfortable if I come out of it. And this I'll be able to do only by me trying to raise the greatness of the Creator in the eyes of the friends by myself. That's it. This is this wheel that will constantly be working. Yeah, exactly so. The thing is that each one of us is performing many actions. Each one here, every day, is performing many, many actions. The thing is, are we doing them? Them together. And this is what we have to try to remember. This is what we have to keep knocking on, that we have to do these things together so that all of these actions will have a result of connection. Not just actions of individual people who are trying to achieve something, but to the opposite. I will never achieve anything unless first I bring my friends to this. It's not that it's about do I come to the lesson, but do I show the friends how important the lesson is? It's not about am I doing dissemination, but am I showing the society how important this is to really try to perform these actions together. Yeah, in the end it has to be clear to us that the light has to come and affect a certain change in us, and this can happen to us only if we build a kli, a common kli with one common intention. Doesn't matter what you're doing, where you're operating, it has to be with a single intention to be a part of this kli that is going to serve the Creator and reveal the light in it.
Yeah, it's like Rav is sitting and looking at us and saying, you see, you have connection and the force of bestowal among you and all that, and we also know everything. So, probably like Rami says, you know, just some upper force needs to come and make the action. We need to have some deficiency to make it more accurate, maybe.
For this, we have to agree every moment anew, to agree to annul in the group, to dissolve in it, to be lost inside of the group. And to have the mind and feeling of the group, not of your own.
It's a process. Eventually, we need to make room. In order to do that, we first have to not want to make room. Everything goes away, but it goes away in the group.
And the moment that I try to make room, but maybe I don't succeed in doing it, I can truly pray. So then what can I pray about? Again, about the connection between us. Somehow in the end, it all revolves and revolves and comes back to the connection between us. And from there, everything grows. Rav, I can receive this force, the common force that exists in the group, only on the condition that I use it together with them in works that we're doing together. Do I have such a possibility and the right intention to participate? Then I have a chance of receiving the force of bestowal, which is hidden in the group. Because I dwell within my own people. And if I'm not doing that, if I'm not incorporated inside of the group actions, I have no possibility to come closer to this force of the Creator, to extract it from the connection between us. I don't even discover the connection itself. There has to be a common action, and I try to detect it, and only when I come in this manner and I'm included in it, I have some contact with that force that dwells in the group, which is the Creator, in hiding, but nevertheless, with the I'm in that inclination towards Him. We need to be aware of what is it that I'm seeking, for what purpose am I trying to be included in the actions of the group. Therefore, if there is a common act of dissemination, I don't think about anything else, rather only about the spiritual gain that I can extract from it. Well, let's continue.
Excerpt number 5. This is from Rabash, Article 300, a land where you will eat bread without scarcity. One must engage in Torah day and night, that the night and the day should be equal for him, as written in the Zohar. In other words, the state of completeness, wholeness, called day, and the state of incompleteness, called night, should be equal. That is, if his aim is for the sake of the Creator, then he agrees that he wants to bring contentment to his Maker. And if the Creator wants him to remain in the state of incompleteness, he agrees to this as well. The consent is expressed by doing his work as if he were rewarded with wholeness. This is regarded as agreeing, when the day and the night are equal to him. But if there is a difference, to the extent of the difference, there is separation. And on that separation, there is a grip to the outer ones. Hence, if a person feels that to him there is a difference, he must pray to the Creator to help him so there will not be a difference for him. And then he will be rewarded with completeness. Again, one must engage in Torah day and night, that the night and the day should be equal for him, as written in the Zohar. In other words, the state of completeness called day and the state of incompleteness called night should be equal. That is, if his aim is for the sake of the Creator, then he agrees that he wants to bring contentment to his Maker. And if the Creator wants him to remain in the state of incompleteness, he agrees to this. as well. The consent is expressed by doing his work as if he were rewarded with wholeness. This is regarded as agreeing, when the day and the night are equal to him. But if there's a difference, to the extent of the difference, there is separation, and on that separation there is a grip to the outer ones. Hence, if a person feels that to him there is a difference, he must pray to the Creator to help him, so there will not be a difference for him. And then he will be rewarded with completeness.
Rav, but even if he asks that the Creator will help him to be above that lack of completeness, he feels that lack of completeness, he does not detach from it. He doesn't fall into a single sensation while leaving the other sensation. He is truly in both of these states simultaneously. And by that, he tries to maintain himself being both above this one and above the other one. He doesn't need to just integrate with the good state and lose himself, just like he, as though he has to rise from the bad state. Rather, everything that happens to him in that moment, he rises above it into reason, and then to faith above reason. That is, to try to, first of all, be in the perception of reality that is independent of the states that he's going through the way he feels it. Again,
here's at number 5 again. One must engage in Torah day and night, that the night and the day should be equal for him, as written in the Zohar. In other words, the state of completeness called day and the state of incompleteness called night should be equal. That is, if his aim is for the sake of the Creator, then he agrees that he wants to bring contentment to his Maker. And if the Creator wants him to remain in the state of incompleteness, he agrees to this as well. The consent is expressed by doing his work as if he were rewarded with wholeness. This is regarded as agreeing, when the day and the night are equal to him. But if there is a difference, to the extent of the difference, there is separation, and on that separation there is a grip to the outer ones. Hence, if a person feels that to him there is a difference, he must pray to the Creator to help him, so there will not be a difference for him. And then he will be rewarded with wholeness or completeness.
How do we reach a state where it doesn't matter to me if it is day or night. The most important thing is that I will be attached to what? What am I gripping so that the day and the night do not affect me? Go ahead.
I hold on to my friends. What else do I have? Just follow what they do. If I'm lucky, then I'm also enjoying it, and I'm happy, and I'm with them in heart and soul, and I do everything with a positive attitude. And if less, then still, I do the same actions on the outside, and a change is not seen on me. I just do what they do.
100% I agree. I was also thinking about this answer. This is the salvation, that a person has an environment where he can run and integrate with them and null and go through all of these different states together with them, and later on to observe and learn from it.
Maybe the environment gives a person the ability to observe, but I don't feel like there's control over the situation. You can observe the state and see where you are, but beyond that, I think it's the upper force.
What am I attached to? The yearning to be in the quality of Bistol above all the different states, above the day, above the night, which is revealed in the ten, in the group, in the friends, with constant thought and concern about the friends.
At the end of the day, the light works and does the action. And it knows how much and why and how. But we have to just make sure that the friends are always in the flow of the group, that we have to see that our friends are bonded with the group.
This means that in this world we have this gift that on the one hand we can be in a feeling of inner darkness, on the other hand the body can perform actions. And maybe the only thing that I can still add to everything that the friend said is the habit in the work, that the beast is simply used to doing the work, so it just does the work, whether she feels good, it feels good or bad. And at some point, maybe you start also to feel true love to the friends, and the love will then push us. Maybe that will come as well.
Also, maybe to add that there, we need this confidence that dwells in the group, and it doesn't matter whether it's day or night, it'll pass. And it feels that the day and both day and night come from the same source to study his actions. We have to just ask each other to have that confidence.
Okay, so it's clear. We agreed. It's all about the friends. If we want to go another stage deeper in the depth of the adhesion, then you have all the Kabbalists and everything they wrote for us. We have behind us a chain of very powerful souls that are pushing us to reach the revelation of the Creator. And to truly adhere to them, to see what kind of work they did. Take an example from them, take an example from a Rav, how each day you have to persist and to invest and to enter this work anew, from morning to night.
We go another level, then we understand we're dealing with the Creator here. We change the feeling of the fulfillment of the clear, to sense of whether there is light, there isn't light, how much we aim to be in contact with Him over any fulfillment that appears. Excerpt number 6, this is from Rabash, Article 24. What does it mean that one should bear a son and a daughter in the work? The work above reason should be unconditional surrender. That is, one should take upon himself the burden of the kingdom of heaven above reason. A person should say, I want to be a servant of the Creator, even though I have no idea about the work, and I feel no flavor in the work. Nevertheless, I'm willing to work with all my might as though I have attainment and feeling and flavor in the work. And I'm willing to work unconditionally. At that time, a person can go forward. And then there is no place for him to fall from his state, since he takes upon himself to work even when he's placed right in the earth, since it is impossible to be lower than the earth. This is as it is written, a generation goes and a generation comes, and the earth forever stands.
When can a person keep going in this work? Let's say if he's in the military, then he's obligated. It's possible to give him a good paycheck that obligates him, or blows that will obligate him, persuasion through the society, the environment that will compel him. So there are many means in order to obligate a person to do the work. Means that change the importance for him, the importance he ascribes to the work or the purpose of the work, and means that change his attitude to the work itself. Let's say he gets sufferings or blows, then he relates to the work differently. He starts appreciating the work because by working he will avoid getting blows. It's possible that in return for his work, where now he's suffering, he will get a good payment at the end. The next world, it doesn't matter what it is. However, here we're talking about something special. He writes, the work above reason should be unconditional surrender. That already I don't understand. What does it mean, unconditional? So that I will feel good at the end of the month, or at the end of the day, or even following each and every action that I do, and that I will get a reward? That I understand. If I don't get blows immediately after I don't perform an action, or maybe at the end of the day if I didn't do it, or at the end of life if I wasn't successful, that I also understand. So if it's punishment or reward, I understand that. But what does it mean, unconditional? That is a question that I'm asking you. Let's scrutinize this. Go ahead. Maybe you should read it again.
Again, excerpt number 6. The work above reason should be unconditional surrender. That is, one should take upon himself the burden of the kingdom of heaven above reason. A person should say, I want to be a servant of the Creator, even though I have no idea about the work, and I feel no flavor in the work. Nevertheless, I'm willing to work with all my might, as though I have attainment and feeling and flavor in the work. And I'm willing to work unconditionally. At that time, a person can go forward, and then there is no place for him to fall from his state, since he takes upon himself to work even when he is placed right in the earth, since it is impossible to be lower than the earth. This is as it is written, a generation goes and a generation comes, and the earth forever stands.
From here, maybe it is possible to understand a little bit what is done with us, through what states do we have to go through. That running away from punishment, we can see it in the world, everybody is trying to run away as from a battle, from a fire. Everybody is running around trying to get a reward, each one according to his own taste. However, unconditional surrender, nobody wants it. It's not clear. What will I work with? With what kelim? The vessels of reception? No. The vessels of bestow? No. So what? Yes. And here we do need to realize that unconditional surrender means new values, a new kind of reasoning with vessels that I didn't have before. How can a realistic person who has forces, a mind, an emotion, how can he be in unconditional surrender? That is, apparently he has great kelim, and they keep growing, and in his increased desire and emotion, he calculates, and he wants to be above the calculation. How will we do that? Please. How will we perform a calculation, both within reason and also seemingly above reason, for the sake of bestowal and for the sake of reception? It doesn't matter how. And then we will rise even above that, without any connection to this calculation. Go ahead.
Rav,
delve into the question as much as possible. By that we develop a new kli. Even somebody who doesn't understand, he doesn't know, he doesn't feel it, delve into it. Make an effort. Go ahead. Don't wait for the friend to speak. I'm seemingly speaking together with him. Go ahead.
The idea that whether we want it or not, we're already under faith, meaning the force of the upper, the rule of the upper force. And maybe there is one condition that we will give, be given the power to work for him without conditions. It's a force you need, it's a power you need.
Yes, the auto mode of, in auto mode, the person is always calculating, where will I gain more, where will I pay less, and this is how he decides where to go. The question is, what component, what ingredient can you add to that calculation? I think that the ingredient we're missing is that a person is completely ruled by the Creator, by the society in which it is revealed, to agree with it, that the control is not in his hands. This is the ingredient that we need to add to the calculation, and then the work begins.
Gradually, it becomes clearer and clearer that nothing's clear, that we're moving towards the quality of bestowal, and we have no idea where we're going, and it's completely opposite. And if it would appear to us slightly, we would see that we truly don't want it. And I think that's the question is kind of, you know, to rise above all of that. I don't know, it's a state we need to go through together.
No, I'll try to give a corporeal action, and you will help me to what this is, this condition is, which is called unconditional surrender. I thought about it, and I realized the only time
one half of the picture I have always anyway.
Surrender
my,
is
my...
22 years ago when my twin daughters, you know, were born, and then they simply took over my life. And this is where I really needed unconditional surrender. Of course, here you have the natural feeling of love towards the friends and everything. But when I look at it, maybe this is what we have to reach in the group. It's just like you have children who now enter your life, and there's nothing you can do with it. They're going to be with you until the day you die. Nothing's going to help, whether it feels good or bad. You like it, you don't like it. Maybe something like that is kind of spiritual love. That may be unconditional surrender.
אפשר להגיד, אם אני עובד, אז אני מקבל שכר. אם אני לא עובד,
we can say, if I work, I receive a reward. If I don't, I receive punishment. And it's like the creator, the boss is talking to you. But if you come to the boss and you say, I want to work for you, but don't pay me at all. No conditions. I have a great resume. I'll work, but you don't pay anything to me. So he also can't fire you. Meaning, when a person comes to work for the Creator and he doesn't need any conditions, then also the Creator doesn't manage him in that sense. There's this great independence where he comes and says, I work unconditionally. I just work.
And by gripping both of these states simultaneously, there is a possibility to discover how sophisticated the Creator is, how He created this wonderful creature that is capable of developing, capable of determining that today's state is not the truth, that there is another truth tomorrow. And we have this experience our whole life, that we look at what we are thinking, yes, there is something that's incorrect, you have new thoughts, and you shape everything in a new way, and you know, according to all of this experience, that there is also a view of tomorrow. And maybe the truth will be revealed there completely differently, and today's truth will be gone.